And for your tender mercies. We thank you because you're God and there is none like you and there is none but you. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to pray to you, Lord God. We thank you that you allow us to come to your throne of grace and mercy. And we thank you that you hear and answer our prayers according to your will for our lives. We thank you that we could call on you any place and in any time. So Lord God, now speak a word for us. Speak a word of prayer. And send your Holy Spirit to come and live and abide in us. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come, be with us so that our coming will not be in vain. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Amen. And you know, today we are looking at seasons of prayer, part one, because we have broken them, they're 21 days, and we've broken them into 7 and 14 and 21. And I've encouraged you to read that little book. It will be good for your soul, for your own prayer life. And I'm very pleased to see that the little group that comes early in the morning, the older folks who have ran this race and keep running, have all engaged in this book and have been telling me things that has helped them with this little book. They even brought their notepads today. They thought there was going to be question and answer. They've been so, it has meant so much to them. And please do read it for yourself if you have it. If you don't have it, we could still get you one. We still have a few left. And so here we are. We want to talk about seasons of prayer. Now this little book, by this book that looks this way. It's called the 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible. And not only is it a prayer book, it is also a book that will tell you stories in the Bible, narratives that many people have not read. Never heard of, don't know. One lady said to me today, one of our seniors said this morning, she says, because sometimes we hear the same thing over and over again, the same narratives. She says, I didn't even know about these people in the Bible. That's what it does. The writer was very smart about that. And we want to begin. I'm going to begin by bringing two of these prayers together and highlight all 7 of them now. Now, let me begin to tell you that we all need help. Yesterday, I was out in Hopog. And so we had a meeting in Hopog. That's where our district office is. And I'm leading the meeting, and it's 12:30. So I pull up, and I was in my car. I was the first there. And another car pulled up, one of my colleagues. And she said, how are we going to get in? Do we have the key? You know, because the DS wasn't there yet. And so I said, she told me where the key is hidden. So she comes up to my car door, and she's looking at my car, you know, at my car window. And then she said to me, Marjorie, when are you going to get your car inspected? So I said, why? She says, your inspection has been up since June. True story. How can I make, I can't even make up these stories for my sermons anymore. I get them daily. I says, are you sure? She says, of course, I'm reading it right now, because she's standing next to my car. I says, I thought they were supposed to tell you. Don't they remind you? She says, no, they don't remind you. They remind you for the other thing, the one you have to pay them by mail. It's called the registration, isn't it? I says, oh, my Lord, you mean they could have arrested me? She says, they probably wouldn't put you in jail, but they would give you a fine. Since June. So now I didn't even know when I'm driving back from after the meeting. I thought, every time I saw police, I says, oh, let them not be coming after me. So tomorrow I'm going to call up and I'm going to have it inspected. Could you imagine? I'm a God-fearing woman. And I'm a God-fearing woman, and I'm breaking the law. It's just to show you that we all need encouragement. And we all need somebody to look out for you. This is what this little book is about. We think we know everything. We think we got it pat till somebody tells us, right? And here it is since June. We are now in November, and I'm driving with an expired inspection card, although my car is driving well. But anyhow, it is to show you we can never say that we know everything. So when this happened to me yesterday, I says, yes, Lord, you have a way of telling us, don't you, that you need to be told, we all need to be told, we all need to listen, and we all can learn. Learn from somebody else. Learn from someone else. And so here now as I continue, and pray for me that, now, you know, your luck is sometimes the moment you say you find out is when you get into trouble. You take a little red light and then they find you, you know. So now I've got to drive 30 miles in an hour, you know, a minute, a second, an hour between now and tomorrow. Life seems to operate in seasons, doesn't it? Some parts of life are like spring, new beginnings, a fresh start, a brand new job, or a creative opportunity. Certain things always feel so exciting, so invigorating, and so hopeful. The possibilities are endless. Then summer is when the living seems easier. Just like in life, sometimes things just click. Relationships are thriving, work seems effortless, and the pleasant days are long. And then we have autumn, which we call fall. It begins a cool, refreshing change, but always a twinge of nostalgia, of days lost and the foreboding reminder of what lies away. Life sometimes changes, which makes us remember and long for the past. We leave friends for a new chapter, say goodbye to a loved one, or move to another opportunity, and then, as certain as ever, winter arrives. The cold, bitter harshness of a season that indiscriminately tests the metal of us all. It begs the question, how strong are you? So therefore, we know that they are the seasons of life. But through all the seasons of life, we need prayer. Whether it's summer, spring, fall, winter, we need prayer. We need prayer through winter and spring and summer and fall. We need it sometimes more so in these seasons of certain seasons of life than other. You know, there's a song, not a religious song, but a very good folk song by James Taylor and Carly Simon. For those of you around my age group, I guess some of the younger folks may know it. When you're down and troubled, when you need a helping hand, and nothing is going right, just close your eyes and think of me, and soon I'll be there to brighten up even your darkest night. Can you imagine expecting someone to do that, right? You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, babe, to see you again. And I'll come running to see you again. And then he goes on to say, summer, winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call and I'll be there. You've got a friend. Well, James Taylor was really writing this song for Jesus. Right? True Trouble Times. It's really a very good folk song. He thought he was writing it for some kind of love arrangement here on earth, but this is really about a love arrangement in heaven. When problems come, when trouble time comes, you could call on me. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. You've got a friend. The song reminds us that we have got a friend in Jesus, and we could call on him. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. And he'll be there. And we call on Jesus through prayer. We go through things ourselves and in unnecessary pain sometimes because we don't call on Jesus. Because we are expecting and depending someone to call on Jesus for us. Well, this little book reminds us, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible, reminds us that we can call on Jesus. And the writer Dave Early says, Someone said that God answers yes, no, wait, and you gotta be kidding. Someone else says that if our request is wrong, God says no. If our timing is wrong, God says slow. If we are wrong, God says grow. And if our request is right, our timing is right, and we are right, God says go. However God answers, we know that God is a wise heavenly God who knows what is best for us and what is best for others. And so many of us have heard the yes, the no, most of us have, right? And I've heard that you got to be kidding. God likes us and such, you got to be kidding, Marjorie. And we have heard the slow and so forth, but we know that God hears. Another important point he raises is that prayer is for everyone. He continues, Eleazar may be intentionally unnamed to remind us that answered prayer is not the privileged domain of the big name elite. It is the heritage of all who call upon the Lord. That means my prayer is no better than your prayer. I want to take that lie out of everybody's mind. That's misinformation, right? That God is only listening to the pastor's prayer. And God is only listening to so-and-so prayer. And that my prayer, that your prayer is not good enough. It's not true. We know that God hears and answers every prayer. And this little book, the seven first chapters, as you'll see in all the chapters, are a mixture of ordinary people, simple people, and then a couple of big-time folks, like King David, who messed up a little bit, and then Moses. And so the first prayer we see is the prayer of Eleazar, and it says, give me success today. And that we found in Genesis. Eleazar was a relative unknown praying for blessing for his master. Nobody knew him. None of us knows where to find it. Genesis 24, if we have read Genesis, we have passed over, but God would hear his prayer and answer it. Then we have the prayer of Jacob, second prayer, bless me. The Bible tells us that Jacob struggled with God, and he would utter a small prayer. I will not let you go until you bless me, Jacob said. Shows us that we can talk to God like that. We don't have to have a soliloquy. We don't have to have a degree in prayer. We don't have to go to the best universities to know how to pray. We don't have to be ordained to know how to pray. We can all pray. Simple words. Be specific, the writer says. And we know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And do you know, Jacob held on all night long, the Bible says, he would not let go from with God. Over and over. An angel of the Lord did not kill him, but changed his name. And do you know the country of Israel took its name in 1945, I believe it's in the 40s, Israel, after Jacob. Because Jacob now became Israel. That's how, when they were forming Israel and needed a name, because Jacob wrestled with God and survived. And then we have the prayer of Moses. In Exodus, Moses says, go with us. Moses will utter in the prayer, if your presence does not go, or your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. That's all he was asking God. God, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't send me. You're calling me. You want me to serve you, God. You're sending me somewhere if your presence doesn't go with me. Many of us who have been called, many folks who have been called into ministry will have prayed that prayer. Ask those word of God. Could you imagine saying to God, God, if you're not coming, I'm not going. We don't feel we could do that. God, if your presence isn't coming. This is what this word shows us, that we can talk to God. He's Abba Father. We can talk to the Lord. He's a loving God. if your presence does not go with me. And then we have the prayer of Gideon. Oh, poor Gideon. I'm going to flesh him out a little bit. Gideon, you didn't know about Gideon, the book of Judges. It's called the book of Judges because it's all the judges of Israel who would rule Israel. They would rule Israel over a period of time. You know, there's judges, there's Deborah, there's Gideon, there's Deborah, there is Samson was a judge, because the children of Israel were disobeying God. They would disobey God. God would punish them, put them under captivity. They would pray out to God. And then God would send a judge who would defend them. And then what? They would obey, repent, obey, and then the cycle would start. The book of Judges. So Gideon is going to be the most unlikely judge. And he would say, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. His prayer was just to ask for a sign. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because Gideon would say to God, I am from the weakest tribe. He was from Manasseh. He was saying, I'm nobody. I'm like Marjorie. She's from a little dot in the universe, a little island that if you blink too hard, you pass it by, called Jamaica. A little town called Kingston. Who would have known that God would want to use me, bring me to America? Who would have known a little girl running on the streets of Kingston, Jamaica, barefooted, hair braided, running around? Who would have known but God? That's why Gideon's story is so one of my favorite stories. Because who would have known, Lord, that Hilda and Edgar's child, God would want to use somewhere else? God answers prayer. My mama must have prayed many times, use her, God, keep her out of trouble. And then the prayer of Anna, remember me. Simple, a mother wanting to give birth, and all she would say to God, God, remember me. And the writer of these prayers show us that they are not these long things. I remember one black pastor used to say when he's preaching, don't stop boring God. He says, you're boring God already. He'll say when we're going on and on. He says, you don't have to bore God. God is busy. Got a lot of people to take care of. Yes, there are times we have long prayers. We talk about corporate prayer in the church. But we don't have to pray a book when we get on our knees. Sometimes we think, if I don't have a lot to tell God, I can't pray to God. God knows. And then the prayer of David, simple. David knew that he had sinned. And all he was going to pray is, I have sinned. And then the prayer of Jabez, another weakling, Jabez, who was born in pain, who had nothing. His mother kind of resented his birth. And yet God would listen to Jabez's prayer, 1 Chronicle. And Jabez would ask God, enlarge my territory. Increase my influence. Do you know how many pastors and bishops we pray that prayer for our ministry, for the New York Annual Conference, for our churches? I prayed all the time, Lord, if I found favor in you, increase my territory. Increase my church. Increase our ministry. Prayer of simple people. Church, we need to be praying to God. So today I want to focus on the prayer of Gideon and King David, plea for forgiveness. And so who was Gideon? Kind of give you who was Gideon already, so I'll tell it to you. Gideon was this man, you know, who was threshing wheat, just doing his little job. Frankly, he was working the factory, just doing his job. And in the book of Judges, and then the angel of the Lord show up. One day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak tree that belonged to the king. God belonged to his father, I meant. Could you imagine God just showing up and sitting next to you? Can you imagine that? You know God does. Do you know that? Shows up and sit next to you. God comes in all kind of form. You know, God shows up and come talk to us. He doesn't just come talk to me. There are times he doesn't even speak to pastors. Because some of our lives are messed up. We have to clean it up too. Do you know that? Not mine, of course, but other people. And they said, the angel of God appeared to him and said, God is with you, almighty warrior. And Gideon replied, with me? My master, like with me? Are you confused? I would say to God, you sure it's me? You mean you're not going to talk to somebody who lives out in the Hamptons? I was telling them yesterday about they were asking for funds, you know, for grants, and somebody wants some funds for the Hamptons. You know, they to open up a day, and I says, there's no poor people in the Hamptons. We can't give you a grant. I said I was being prejudiced, wasn't I? And she said, the little lady, the pastor says, of course, I'm in Hampton's Bay, and then there's the Hamptons. I said, you know what, you need to listen. She says, there are poor people there. I says, you could have fooled me. But there's poor people everywhere needing God, right? And so here it is. Here is Gideon. He would be coming from Hampton's Bay. A lot of folks working, a lot of migrant labor in Hampton's Bay when we looked at the stats. And he says, if God is with us, why has all these things happened to me? Gideon was really bold before God. Why are all these things happening to me? If God is for, what's going on in my life? Where are all the miracles and wonders? What is going on, God? But God faced him directly and says, go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from the Midianite, from your enemy. Haven't I just sent you? And Gideon said to him, me, my master? And with what could I do that? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter. Gideon went right to the point as he was praying to talking to God. I am the runt. You know what the runt of the litter is? All of us who have dogs and so, you know, I go to the animal shelter to get my cats. My daughter's a cat lover. We've gone there for years. And we get what? The runt of the litter. Isn't that cute little dogs and cats, but they're not pedigree. You know, when I was just married years ago, there'd be a young doctor living downstairs our house, and he had a poodle. And he had to go back to wherever, you know, they were doing his residency. Cute little poodle, and he said it was a special breed. And did I want the little dog? I used to have dogs in Jamaica. And I said, yes. And so I get the dog. And come home, and my poor husband said, I just had a baby, and he said, what, this little dog, it's a poodle. It needs to cut, you have to go take it to have it cut and special food. He says, we're poor people. We can't afford a poodle. He says, I have to feed you, and you can't afford a poodle. So, but we did get a poodle, and Lord, the poodle cost us more than we could afford. Right? He was a runt. You see, Gideon was no poodle. He was just a little, what do you call him, a little mutt. But God would listen to a little mutt. Isn't that good news for us? All of us who are mutts today, I know there's none in here, but I can raise my hand. All of us who are just think we're nobody, God will listen to us. And so the Bible says, Gideon then asked for a sign. What did Gideon say? Well, Lord, and I may have it backward, I don't know, but he says, Lord, just show me a sign. I just want to know that I really am not going crazy and I'm hearing from you. I'm going to put this fleece on the ground and let the ground stay dry and the fleece get wet. And if the whole ground is dry and the fleece is wet, then I'll know you're talking to me. And he gets up the morning and guess what? The ground is dry and the fleece is wet and he wrings it and water comes out. Does Gideon give up? Persistent prayer. He says, Lord, when you're with it, forgive me, God, but could you just do something else for me? Could you now make the fleece wet and the ground dry? And God did it. So friends, God would listen to Gideon. God will listen to you and me and answer our prayers. This is what this writer wants us to understand. This writer tells us in his book, he says, make it specific. Make it personal. When you're praying to God, make it personal. Make it specific. Stop worried about all the words we see Google online and all people's prayer with all these words that we cannot say. They say words upon words. Some of us are verbose like I am. We could go on and on and on and on and we talk to God. Make it simple and make it specific. He says, make it personal and make it specific. One of our friends this morning, our member said this morning, she says, I love this little book and I've been reading it and I was so alone. I felt so alone one day last week. I wanted my son to call, she said. She told me this morning. And she said, I read and I remembered Gideon. And I said, she didn't know I was going to speak in Gideon, but she said, I sat there and I says, Lord, Lord, maybe you'll get somebody to call me. You know, maybe one of my children would call, she said. And then she said, she remembered the writer said, make it specific. And she said, and I'll just make up a name. Lord, could you let John call me? And she says, Pastor, I said it a couple of times. Lord, could you please let John call? And she says, John called her the next day. God, she says, I can't believe God answered that prayer directly. She says, John called me. She told me this morning right at the door. John called me. She says, I made it specific. She has already read the whole book and is rereading it. She says, you don't know what it's doing for my life, giving me hope. John called her. So I don't believe that we should ask for signs. I always have that problem when I read Gideon many years ago, asking God for a sign. I'm afraid God will give me a sign that, well, get a heart attack or something. So I'm afraid of asking for sign, right? So I always worry about that. But we cannot ask for sign for every aspect of our lives, can we? No. You know, there are times when we need a sign that occurs really in our lifetime. So when occasions occur, and God will give us a sign. God will give us a confirmation. Friends, have you ever gotten a confirmation from God? Have you ever gotten something from God that you know you've been asking God for? You've prayed to God, and God gives you a confirmation. And you know it is a divine okay. Or a divine, I'm with you. Or a divine, I've heard you. This is what the book is reminding us of, that God will and can give us these signs. When we're desperate enough and we call on God, God will give us confirmation. God will answer us through prayer, answer us, but we have to be bold. Is my prayer any more important to God than yours? No. It isn't. I believe I'm favored of the Lord because I believe that. But you are also favored. You've got to believe it. Right? You've got to believe that you're one of God's favorite children. We're all God's favorite children. Some of us choose to reject it. Some of us just choose to believe it. But God is going to listen to Marjorie's prayer. And he's going to be listening to your prayer. Forgot your name, young lady. Ellen's prayer. God is going to listen. This is what this book shows us. Everybody's prayer, and even when we cannot articulate the words of prayer, the Bible tells us that what? God will interpret our very, the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us will interpret our very groanings. Do you know there are times we can't pray out words? We could only say, Lord, Lord, and in that Lord have mercy, there's a whole paragraph that the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, she needs us and such. They need you now. And he'll come. He'll hear and he'll answer. And so here we have the prayer of David. David had sinned against God. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And David, after Nathan told him, the prophet told him, you had the woman's husband killed, Bathsheba, so you could go with her. And God is not pleased with you. And David knew God did not kill David, but God gave David a chance to what? To repent. And David would say, I have sinned. The Bible tells us in Psalm 51, he goes on his knees and he says, this is David's prayer. Psalm 51 is a prayer of David. Do you know that? A prayer for cleansing and pardon. And he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Do you know it's all first pronoun? Do you understand what David is doing here? David didn't know it says, I know that everybody is sin. We all sin. I sin. You sin. Lord, forgive us all. No. He went to the first person. Didn't he? Me, David says. Have mercy on me. According to your steadfast love, wash me thoroughly for my iniquity. Cleanse me. Make it specific. Then at the very end, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Come on now, friends. Me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and sustain me in your willing spirit. Me. When we go to God, it's about me. It's not about you, the other person. Every now and then I do the other person. Oh, God, fix the other person. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to start fixing you while I'm fixing them. Maybe I'll begin with you, right? Start fixing you as I'm fixing them because you need some fixing too, right? Me. Me. And the songwriter tells you as I bring this in, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's not Mary and Sue and Harry. God is going to take care of them. But it's me standing in the need of prayer. Don't waste our prayers praying to God for all kinds of things against other people. Pray to God about yourself. God, fix me, Jesus. There's an old Negro spiritual that says, fix me, Jesus. For if you don't fix me, I'm going to die in my sin. Fix me, Jesus. Right? It's me. It's me. And so that little book, I want to leave you with just two points. He says at the end of every prayer, making it personal. Then he says, make it specific. At the end of every chapter, making it personal. Your prayer life, make it personal. And then, make it specific. Seek God. God wants to hear from you. Not me, for you. You. I will always pray for you. We pray for each other. But God also is waiting to hear from each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen.